Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good evening, and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Langwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, but especially the joy you feel when you share that love with others. It's in that spirit, then, that those of you who are Christian, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Orthodox Christians will, at least some of them, not all of them, but some will only be celebrating Christmas later on, the Feast of Epiphany. Catholics are still celebrating the octave of Christmas, 8 days, where liturgically we celebrate each day as though it were Christmas Day itself. The joy that we feel just cannot end in one day. And those in the Jewish community, this is the eighth and final day of Hanukkah, the miracle that they experienced of God and life, and a reminder to us that God's love for us, for each of us, is indeed a miracle, and it's a mystery that we don't fully understand. And I want to be able to try to share that this evening in stories of faith and imagination about the Christmas event. What was going on there that we have experienced in the birth of our own loved ones? We would hope that this was a time of peace, which it is not. We've seen anti-Semitic violence, Jewish people in New York being killed, and yesterday in Texas, a group of Christians in their church, a couple killed there. And makes us wonder sometimes when you see the interviews with people afterwards and how it has affected them. How has it affected us? We never want to reach a point where we begin to accept violence in life without attempting to do something about it, to support those who are trying to overcome it. Even Jesus had to flee for his life. And so we have to learn to live our life with hope. And today on this octave of Christmas, for Catholics, it's the Feast of the Holy Family. We celebrate what it means to be a family. Have you thought about your own family during Christmas? Do you believe that there are sacred moments in your family, that it is truly a sacred place where all of us parents and children are always welcome, always respected, accepted, always forgiving, and of course, always loved? We know it's not always that way. Sometimes we need to renew our love for one another and hopefully learn from the harm that was done that there is even greater love that we can show to one another. Maybe that's because the values we learn and the memories we treasure are very important lessons we will ever learn, because each member of the family is called to reflect the unconditional love of God. Do you see yourself as a person who reflects the love of God to others? Certainly, you will feel that love coming to you, both in good times and bad times. As we struggle to make our homes places of peace and love, the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph can be a model for us. And that's why in just a little bit I'm going to reflect on stories of Jesus, Jesus' birth, and what Mary and Joseph may have been thinking and feeling, saying to one another. And as you prepared for Christmas, what happened to your heart? Did your preparation deepen your love because of the love you know has come to you and is coming to you even right now, yet alone on the day of Christmas itself, from God? Did you prepare for Christmas and celebrate it in a way that you will remember in the future? When we reflect, however, on the Holy Family, it might depress us because our families are sometimes not what we want them to be. The tensions and pressures of modern life can take so much of our time and energy away from us that we find little time to grow in our love for one another. We have so much to care for ourselves that we sometimes forget one another. A great deal of patience and forgiveness is required from us. But have we learned that the effort is worth it in the long run? Because it's in the family where we meet God. In the family, first of all, our brothers and sisters, our parents, that we can meet God and therefore discover the meaning of life and especially the powers of love. And when you think about it, not just on Christmas or other celebrations, our greatest joys are celebrated in the family, but so too are our greatest sorrows. It's the meeting place for the young and the old, and has been frequently observed in many ways by different poets that as the family goes, so goes the neighborhood, the country, and the world. For when family life is threatened, the world is threatened. And so the family is a place where from the very beginning of life, one can learn values, moral values, make good use of our freedom, and show God our love for Him. And so if all places of worship were destroyed or their use forbidden, as has happened in some countries of the world, even at this very, very moment, the family would still remain the place where God would continue to be remembered and worshipped. So, even if our family at this point is far from holy and happy, it remains the place where a family can meet God. And so, what would I say about Christmas? What might I say about Hanukkah, if I'm able to do so properly? You've got a more important place in your home by loving one another even more. And that's because our home and our family are the center of the life given to us by God. And when we reflect on the Feast of the Holy Family, it was not because of carelessness that Jesus was left behind. Rather, women traveled more slowly than men, and so they left first in the caravan, the men left later and would catch up with the women at the end of the day. And it seems that Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was with Mary. And so we can only imagine what they thought. And I say that to be able to introduce the whole concept of imagination, something that we all use much more frequently, I think, than we even realize. It's one of the many, many important creative gifts given to us by God. Human intelligence depends on it. Imagination has inspired great writers. Think about some of the novels you like to read, or the shows you like to watch, or the movies you have seen that have touched you. It's imagination that has inspired great writers and composers and painters. and others. Without it, our greatest works of sacred art would not exist. And when accompanied by faith and prayer and meditation, imagination can help us to understand the mind of God. You ever get into someone else's mind, almost knowing how they think? Come to know what they think about you, and therefore they really love you. Well, we can get into the mind of God, and when we do, we will understand something of God's love for us. So imagination can accompany meditation, that prayer, as we visualize ourselves in a scene with Jesus as he is born. And such images can bring us closer to God and help us to experience God in our everyday events, because most of us have experienced the birth of a loved one. And when it is used this way, imagination can be a source of hope. And many things which God asks us to do, we may believe we are incapable of accomplishing, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible when we imagine doing them together with God. Doing them together with God. Along with sight, smell, hearing, feeling, taste, imagination has been referred to as one of our critical senses because it can open up to us the wonder of God's creation, including our own being. And when you go back a period, Albert Einstein said that imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination more important than knowledge. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks often of its power. And like all gifts we receive from God, imagination must be developed. We can improve this creative ability by exercising it. Imagination allows us to use what we already know. We have a foundation in our lives through what we've experienced, what we've learned from life. Allows us to use what we already know, what has already been revealed to us, to achieve even greater understanding, the depth, the clarity, the richness of some basic truth without distorting it. And in this sense, it is a faculty of both the heart and the mind, but I would think it's more of the heart, which is even the greater part of our being. And so imagination is a power which flows from the soul through the grace of God's inspiration. It gives form to what we've experienced in the depths of our being. And so from there, I would like to speak about, I could go on and on about imagination, but let me begin with the story of a Faith and Imagination. For those who listen to this program, know that I've told Faith and Imagination stories, I think, for almost 40 years. A story that I hope will open our hearts and minds to what we're going to talk about that night. And the stories that I will be retelling tonight are going to be the stories that I used at Christmas time, on a program such as this, right after Christmas, or it may have been right before Christmas, or the special I've been doing for just almost as many years, not quite as many, overnight from midnight till 5, as we did this past week. Story of Faith and Imagination. An angel said, "I don't understand. Why does Mary cry so soon and so hard after her son's birth? If you look at them, her tears seem to be composed of sorrow rather than of joy." And he stared at Mary, whose tears continued to fall upon Jesus as she held him lovingly in her arms. Have you held a child like that in your arms? I have. An older and wiser angel said, "Shush. Be silent. Watch. Perhaps she can already begin to see within the gentle marks rubbed on his face during his birth the cruel and savage marks that will cover his body in death." What did Mary know? anything at all about what her son would face in the future? What did the angel tell her? Just then Joseph reached over and touched his son's hand, looked proudly into his eyes, and said, "I accept you. I love you as my son, and you shall bear my name." But with tears still streaming from her eyes, Mary said as gently as she could, No, Joseph. She knew he'd be disappointed. "He shall be named Jesus." Sadness struck quickly and painfully at Joseph's heart, but with a firm and strong voice he said, "So be it. His name shall be Jesus." But he didn't raise his eyes from Jesus, fearing Mary might see the disappointment and the tears that were filling them. The smaller angel said to the larger one, "Is the child's mother giving him the correct name? After all, it is Joseph who will raise him and provide for him." The older and wiser angel responded, "It's the right name, the one he should be given. It shall be spoken many times upon the earth, in both good times and bad. I tell you this, when he begins to speak, people will remember his words. And the tears his mother sheds now are nothing compared to those that will fall from her eyes when he dies." Then he began to sing. And one by one, other angels began to join him, until a great chorus had formed, filling every corridor in the heavens with beautiful music. Its warmth reached the earth and filled Mary's heart, easing her sadness and pain. And she began to hum softly to her son. The clouds opened above the stable, and the stars seemed to sparkle and glow at the same time, bringing light into a world filled with so much darkness. The darkness that comes from man not caring about one another, or even about God. A beautiful and powerful angel who had watched from afar, but who had said nothing, appeared suddenly at the side of these two angels and said, "The heavens cast their light upon him now, but he truly is the light of the world, a light that man will take long to fully understand. Spiritual darkness disperses at his sight, and even at the mention of his name." Do we believe that? That spiritual darkness disperses at his sight, and even at the mention of his name. Do you call upon God when you are faced with troubles? And what about these angels? The Bible reveals that angels were present with Jesus throughout his life, at his birth and his resurrection especially, but many other times of his temptation, for example, in the desert before Lucifer. The Bible also reveals that angels are a part of our lives, and that's important for us to understand. Like us, each of them is unique. And that should not surprise us. If we truly believe we are unique, then it's just one step forward to believe that our angels are unique. But their nature is obscure, as is the nature of God. As an expression of God's goodness, angels show us how important we are to God. They provide us with guidance and are a constant source of hope as they remind us of our intimate union with God. We each have a guardian angel, maybe more than one. We just don't know all the information about the heaven, certainly what has been revealed to us and what we need to know. But how much more is there that we don't understand that shows us how much God loves us? No barriers exist between the angels and us as we join them in praising God where heaven and earth meet, especially during the Glory and Sanctus at Mass. They remind us that this is much more than simply a materialistic world. There is much more to God's creation than what our senses reveal to us. We know that our senses awaken sometimes to the beauty of so many things in life that we've never experienced before. Christ is the center of the angelic world. Mary is the queen of the angels. They are His angels, since all was created through and for Him. The whole life of the Church benefits from their mysterious and powerful help. Sometimes our intuition, our interior knowing can come from the Holy Spirit. It can also come to us in other ways. It can come to us through the angels, because they live not for themselves, but in loving service to God. So angels do not call attention to themselves, but work in those rather quiet and unobtrusive ways in which God prefers to communicate with us. And so when we love God, we will better understand those ways. The evil one, Lucifer, cannot understand them because he does not love God, and that is to our advantage. A loving heart can see, hear, and feel angels in the love of God as it enters and leaves our heart. Welcome back to Amplify, a special program that I have been doing, I think. It's hard to remember anymore. I probably started this program 41 or 42 years ago, the Sunday after Christmas, having been on KDK for 45 years, first year and a half was pre-program 43 live talk. But this is one of the programs I like to do. Some of it is associated now with the crash on Grand Street that I have worked with for 21 years, sort of the coordinator of that project from the beginning. But these stories we've been telling for almost 35 years or more, might be close to 40 even, and it's using faith and imagination. Our faith, we know what we believe, and then using the power of imagination to look at a scene and prayerfully enter it, to become a part of it, to even get into the heart of Mary and Joseph, into their mind, and wonder what was happening. And why can we do that? Because we know what we were thinking, what we were feeling in similar circumstances in our own life. And there's so much that happens in life that we share together. Experiences, love, hatred, feelings. And there's much that an imagination can help to bring us together. What was Joseph thinking? What was Mary thinking? Joseph's wife was fast asleep. Jesus was curled close to Mary's breast. It was a beautiful scene that filled him with such great joy. But Joseph still had some doubt in his heart. He knew he wasn't the father of this child, and yet he felt very close to and much love for this woman, a woman he had taken in as his wife. A woman who was very kind, who baked very good bread, who never complained, who seemed to be pleased to be his wife. And indeed, we have every reason to believe that indeed was true. And I hope those of you who are married have those same kind of feelings. But then Joseph remembered what Mary had told him, that she had not slept with a man, and how he had tried to believe her because she had never lied to him. But she had been with child. Was it a dream? Or did an angel truly come to him and say, and he thought about that, and quickly wiped that memory from his mind. Just some things that seemed to be too good to be true, because it seemed so different from what we know about life. It's almost like there's no place in our life for mystery. What was so special about this woman who laid fast asleep with her child? He felt she was no beauty. Many women were prettier than she was. She certainly was not wealthy. She was kind. What was so special about her? Why was she chosen? Were they all dreaming? So Joseph's just wondering, as he sees this child, what's going on here? Even though he believed the angel and did what was asked of him. And then he looked down at the sleeping child and said, I only hope I can care for you and be with you when you need me. Because he was older, we have reason to believe, than Mary. He continues thinking to himself, I don't understand what has happened. I guess I never will. If Mary, you were special, why were you born in my family? Now he's looking at Jesus, looking at the sleeping child. Why were you born in my family? But if you are special, I hope you will never look down on me, that you will respect me and be good to me, as I shall try to be good to you. And I pray that no one finds out who you are or how you were conceived. Joseph didn't want any scandal. Being older, he hoped that Jesus would be able to respect him. And then Joseph sat down and covered his shoulders with a shawl, for it was going to be a long night in the cave. But he was glad for its comfort, because the animals seemed to keep them warm. The wind howled, and the noise from the village filtered into the cave. He was pleased. He had shelter and a coin for food. And then Jesus began to cry. And he seemed to sigh. And so Joseph got up and looked at Mary, who was so tired that she didn't hear her child. He bent down, you can imagine this, touched the child's lips and said, speak no more, be silent. Your mother must rest. I hope when your time comes and when you begin to speak, they will listen to your words. I don't know why I say this. Maybe you are special. Like all children, you are special. So Joseph already has some thoughts about what Jesus will do and what he will be, but I would imagine that most parents have hopes for their children at the time of birth, wondering the same thing. Who will this child be? What will he or she accomplish? And now Mary looked down at her sleeping child. There were tears in her eyes, and her face was lined with pain. What have I done? She asked herself, Oh God, what have I done? I know I did not know man, that this seed was given to me, and I allowed it to grow in my body. And now I have given birth. But to what? To whom? Why did the angel say he was special? What will we do? What will be special about him? Will he hate me or will he love me for giving him birth? And who am I? Am I special? Her voice quivered in the stillness of the cave. And she looked down and arranged the cloth that covered the child. She repeated again, What have I done? What have I done? What is happening here? I have given birth to a son. If he is so special, then why did he not come down directly from the heavens? Why was he born of a woman? And why was I chosen? What role will I play in this child's life, because I know I am such a simple woman? What role? What is it that I will have to do for him? And then she looked down at her hands and said, These hands will care for him. But if he is so special, will I do what is right? How do I know that what I do will be the right thing? And then she started to weep uncontrollably, worried about her role. And a lamb came to her and placed its head upon her lap. Mary began to pet it. You are so soft, she said. You have no problems. You may even be used for sacrifice. Ah, and then she looked at her child, and a terrible fear ran through her. Oh, no, no, she said, no. Will my child be sacrificed? Could I bear to see his suffering and pain? And then she quickly added, I'm not going to think such terrible thoughts. I have to put this out of my mind, for he shall be like a god to our people. He shall bring us out of slavery. He shall be a shining example to so many people. In her heart, she knew this child would do much, and she hoped and prayed her heart would not be broken. What were your hopes as each of your children was born? Joseph sat staring at the child. Why do you stare so much, Joseph? Mary asked. You look like you've never seen a child before. Come, hold your son. Sing to him. Joseph began to laugh and said, Mary, Mary, a man does not sing to his child, especially a male child. Mary replied, but he is special. Special in what way? Joseph asked, wondered if she knew something he didn't know. Special in what way? He eats like any other child and soils like any other child. Mary began to laugh and said, but he is special. Joseph put his hand on Mary's hand and said, Yes, Yes, he is. I know he is. He is not my child, but I accept him as my child. What do you think, Mary? Why has this happened? Have you ever wondered more about it? They must have talked about it at some point, especially before they were wed and afterwards. Have you ever wondered about it? Yes, Mary said, many times, many times. When I carried him, I was very concerned. As my body grew, I felt guilty because I knew he was not your child, and I didn't know how you would feel, how you would be affected. Joseph said, at times I also wondered. But now that he is here, I am pleased. I am truly pleased. Weren't you pleased when I carried the child, Mary asked? Joseph thought for a while and said, in many ways, I was not, but when other men teased me, it made me feel good because we are so different in age. Mary said, Joseph, doesn't matter. I still love you. Oh, and I love you too, he said. And I know I'm going to love this child. I feel good about this child, and a son at that. Yes, Mary said, but they told us it would be a male child. What do you think he's going to do? Joseph asked. You've asked me that before, Mary answered. I don't know, she said. But I only hope and pray that everyone will be pleased by his birth. And then with great pride in his eyes, Joseph said, and they will think he is my son. Mary began to laugh and said, yes, the carpenter's son. He sighed and said, yes, maybe he will build a new temple. Mary said, no, I think there's something a little more special for him to do. What could be more special than building the temple? Joseph asked. Oh, there's something very special about this child. And then Mary said, look, Joseph, look. And the child laughed, smiled. He's smiling at us, Joseph exclaimed. Mary smiled back at Joseph and said, I don't think he really sees us, my husband. I don't think he sees us. Not yet, but whatever, we will try to be the best loving and caring parents. You will teach him your trade, and I will teach him to make bread and fetch water from the well. And all at once a shiver seemed to run through Joseph, and he said, Mary, do you realize this is a special child? He was given to us for a reason. What burden is upon our shoulders? What are we to do? We cannot tell anyone. But what are we to do? Mary said, in time, we will know. But I only hope and pray that he does not break my heart. Those are my prayers exactly, Joseph said. My prayers exactly. The wind howled. The noise came from the streets into the small cave by the hillside. Mary and Joseph sat there. They were tired and worn. Mary looked down at her son. There didn't seem at this time to be happiness in her eyes. She seemed to be worried, and tears gently flowed from them. Why do you weep, Mary? Joseph asked. Your pain and suffering are all over now. And we have a son I am proud, so very proud of, and I'm sure you are too. Mary looked at her husband and said, Well, there were times, Joseph, when I carried this child that I questioned my faith. There are a lot of people questioning their faith these days about the church, maybe not so much about God, although they have some questions there. They don't understand just because science is providing so many answers about so many things, and religion doesn't seem to be doing that when indeed there are ways in which it is. And when things happen that have happened recently, they don't see the good that they could hold on to before. They question their faith and act then accordingly. Mary gently wiped the tears from her face, but they continued to fall. Do not weep, Joseph said. Mary, please, do not weep. She said, Joseph, I do because I'm afraid. Afraid of what, Mary? It's all over. We have a warm place to stay. It's away from the crowds. And I'm very grateful for this. For you were able to give birth in privacy. Yes, she said. The angels have always provided for us, and I hope they will in the future. Joseph looked at Mary, and tears were beginning now to form in his eyes. Then they held each other, and their tears mingled with one another as his face touched hers. Most of us have had that kind of experience with someone we've loved. Joseph said, Let us ask the Father to give us strength and understanding. And Mary responded, In our hearts we shall pray, Joseph. No, Joseph replied, Let us speak it out. To whom, Mary asked? To the world, Joseph answered. And Mary began to smile and laugh. Joseph, she said, There are only animals here and our son. Joseph said, You know the angel that appeared to me when you were pregnant? I like to think it was my mind only, that I didn't see it. And Mary looked at him and said, When the angel appeared to me, I wanted to say, It's a dream, but I accept it, and I don't know why I accept it. And when I felt life in my womb, oh, Joseph, he is special, he is special. And their laughter and tears mingled with one another's. And the child stirred and cried out, and they laughed harder. It was a beautiful scene. Joseph took Mary's hand and said, Father, we've accepted your will, but we know not what to do. You have given us a child. He is special. He must be. But how do we raise this child? What are we to tell him? I am a carpenter, and my wife comes from a very poor family. Why were we chosen? As we ask in our own life at times, who are we? What are we to do? Shall we leave this child at a rich man's door? Mary gasped for breath, to believe that Joseph could even think about that, yet alone say it. Shall we leave this child at a rich man's door? Oh, Joseph, she said, do not ask this. Do not ask this. If they answer, have faith, Joseph said. Have faith. There's so many circumstances in our own personal lives in which it is necessary for us to have faith. Welcome back to Amplify. Special program that I do each year, the Sunday after Christmas, whatever that might be, and tell stories of faith and imagination that I've told previously that have a Christmas theme to them. Stories that I believe can help us to enter that scene of birth as we have, many of us, during the course of our life, birth of younger brothers and sisters or other people that we love? And what do we take away from those experiences? Or recalling them, just recalling them. So we are recalling the birth of Jesus and what Mary and Joseph may have been thinking. Now we're at a point in the story where they've been there for a little bit, and now the shepherds come, and the magi, the three kings, and others begin to hear about what has happened and wonder, maybe because they see that Joseph, an older man, has given birth to a son, as they view it, and believe, at least from that natural perspective, that there was a miracle that occurred, not really understanding the true mystery, the fullness of the truth that God came to be with us in His Son, and to do what He had to do through His teaching, through the way He lived His life, and the way He died, to separate us from the power of Lucifer. Knowing, of course, we still have free will. And no matter what Jesus has done, we must cooperate with that grace and not go off on our own and make decisions that contribute to harm rather than to good in the world. The crowd at the inn was very noisy. Joseph was somewhat frightened at the way people were pushing and shoving one another. He entered the door to the inn and made his way through the crowd to a woman who was serving both broth and bread. He said to her, "I would like some of both." "Shut up," a man nearby said to him. "I was here before you." The shoving and pushing continued. The stench was overpowering. But Joseph was determined to stay because he knew Mary needed nourishment. She had eaten the last piece of bread, and Joseph knew Mary needed to be strengthened with some food if she was to continue nursing her newborn son. And so he turned toward another man who was calling out, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Broth for the weary traveler," he said. "My wife has given birth to a son." The man looked at him and said, "What did you say?" Joseph said again, "My wife has given birth to a son. She is hungry, and I must get her some of this broth and bread." The woman who was pouring out the broth into the bowls called out, "The broth and bread are only for those staying at the inn. You're not staying in the inn. You're not staying here. Get out, out." The man Joseph spoke to looked at the woman and said, "I'll share my bread and broth with him because his wife has just given birth to a child." The woman began to laugh and even cackle as she handed the food to him. Joseph and the man pushed and weaved their way out of the large room. Joseph was grateful for the man's kindness and generosity. He was much younger than Joseph, who did not know if the man obtained the food because his voice was strong or because he had slipped an extra coin to the woman. The two of them entered the cave where Mary and her child lay. Even the animals appeared to be attentive to them. Joseph said proudly, "This is my wife and my child." Mary began to rise, but the man quickly said to her, "No, don't get up. I wish only to see the child. Rest. I'm sure you are tired." Mary slowly and carefully removed the veil covering Jesus' face. "This is my son, our son," she said. The man asked at what time the child had been born. After Jesus told him, the man got up and walked away, saying, "I will be back." Mary really enjoyed the hot broth and the fresh bread. When the man returned, he had bread, oil, and wine in his hands, three gifts. This, he said, is a gift from me to you. But I shall also give you another gift. I tell you this, your son shall be well known throughout the world. Joseph looked at Mary as the man continued speaking. Woman, woman, there was fear in you when you conceived this child. Fear when you brought him into the world. And there will be even more fear when he leaves your arms and begins his journey through this life. You have brought forth a son whom they shall acclaim as the Mighty One. His words shall be filled with strength and wisdom, and his deeds with kindness and caring. Then he looked down at the child's hands, began to slowly stroke them, and said, "These are healing hands." He was born under the sign of an important and revealing star. Many have waited for this child. He looked at Joseph and said, "My friend, I do not know you, and you do not know me. But what I tell you now, repeat to no one else. Do not stay here too long, for your child must live." Then he looked at Mary and said, "Woman, woman, remember my words. Your tears will be many, but without this child there would be no hope for mankind." Joseph said, "How do you know this?" The man answered, "I have read it in the stars, and I have seen it in his hands and face. I have not come this way by chance. I was led here. I was led by the message of the stars." How have we been led into circumstances in our own life? Not by accidents, but we only later come to realize we were brought there by God. We've been guided into the lives of many different people that we needed at that particular time in our life. And he looked at Joseph and said, "My friend, when I saw you in the crowd, I was drawn to you. I did not know at first what you were saying, but when I heard you say, 'My wife has given birth,' I knew that if you believed in dreams, you would know that what I have told you is true." Joseph nodded and said, "Before the birth of my son, I dreamt a man would come and give us broth, oil, and bread, that there would be no room in the inn, and that those who provided for us would not judge us." Tears began to roll slowly from the man's eyes to fall on his sun-baked, weathered face, and he said, "Peace, my friends, peace. Do not forget my words, and remember, he is never yours alone, never only yours. He belongs to all of mankind." Much we can learn from dreams, and they can lead us in many different ways during the course of our life. And then there were the shepherds. There was a young shepherd named Joshua. He was an orphan. Some considered him a misfit because he dragged one of his legs behind him. He was blind in one eye, had crooked lips that formed a grotesque-looking smile, and he smiled often. He heard about a child born in a cave and about the light that came from the cave. He knew in his heart that he had to go and see this child. There are some things in life we know we need to do, or places we need to go. And so with this young shepherd. And so Joshua went to another shepherd and requested, "Please, please watch my flock for me, because I must visit a child who has been born in a cave." The old shepherd laughed and said, "You will frighten the child. Even my sheep are afraid of you." But the young shepherd was not discouraged. He just cleared his throat, looked with his good eye at the old shepherd and asked, "Have I not been kind to you and watched your sheep whenever you asked me? Now I am asking you to watch over mine. I'm asking for a favor from you." The old shepherd was dumbstruck by his insistence and could not deny his request. The young shepherd made his way toward the city, hobbling the entire way with the help of a wooden staff. When he reached the noisy city, he was stopped by an old man begging for alms. The young shepherd said to him, I have nothing. I have no coins to give to you. I only have a crust of bread, but I'll share it with you." The old man eagerly grabbed the crust of bread and said, "You have been kind to me, and now I shall give a gift to you." The young shepherd tried not to laugh and replied, What do you have to give to me, my friend? You're a poor beggar, and the only thing I could give to you was a crust of bread. I shared it with you, and you ate it quickly. So what riches do you have to give to me?" The old man looked deeply into the young boy's eyes and said, "Come, come, follow me. I shall take you to see something you will remember your entire life." He guided the young boy through the noisy city to a silent cave where a man and a woman named Mary and Joseph sat warming themselves near a small fire. In a trough nearby, a baby was fast asleep. What are some of the things in your life that you have seen that you will never forget? I hope some of them brought God into your life. Mary was startled when they entered. She looked up and said, "Come, come. You are welcome to share the warmth of our fire." The young boy tried to hide his face from them, but reached out to Jesus with loving hands and said, "Do not hide yourself from me." Mary shook her head and said to him, "You are not ugly. I see only a child." The young shepherd said, "I have been drawn here to see your baby." Mary said, "He is asleep now. Go ahead, touch him, but don't awaken him, because it's not time yet for him to be fed." While the young boy looked at the shepherd, tears began to form in his eyes and then slowly rolled down his face. The old beggar smiled at Mary and Joseph and said to the young shepherd, "It is now time for us to go." Mary said, "Do you not wish to warm yourselves a little longer by the fire?" "No, no," the old beggar answered. "I must go, and so too must you, young man. So too you must return with me." It is written and it is said that many years passed. Jesus was now preaching and healing the sick when an old man came to him. He was blind in one eye. His mouth was twisted in a strange smile. He carried a staff to help him walk as he dragged one of his legs behind him. Jesus walked over to him, placed his hand on his shoulder, and said, "You are still a shepherd, and once again you have come to visit me." Tears began to fall gently down the now old man's cheeks. When he looked into Jesus' eyes, he began to weep, and then to weep even more. He fell upon his knees and said, "It is you. It is you. It is you." Jesus replied, "Yes, it is I, old man. It is I. You came with love in your heart to visit me at my birth, and you have come once again." Jesus helped him to his feet and said, "Give me your staff so that I may use it. And now go, because it is time for you to leave." No longer did the old shepherd need the staff. No longer was his mouth crooked. No longer was he blind in one eye. He left with tears in his eyes. Jesus lovingly kept the staff for years to come. It helped him to walk the path of life wherever it took him, and it took him into very many difficult situations. It is further written and said that when they crucified Jesus, there was a very, very old man who cried out, "You have crucified the healer. You have crucified the Son of God. What have we done? What have we done? And what did we do to deserve the Son of God coming to us?" In his heart, the very old former shepherd heard a voice which he recognized as that of the old beggar he had met many years ago at the city gates. The voice said, "You gave me a crust of bread, and we, the angels of heaven, have given to the world the gift of eternal life from the Creator through His only Son." Where has life taken you, the people that entered your life that you didn't think were perhaps that important at the beginning, but as you got to know them and the circumstances of their life and how your lives touched one another in very special ways, you began to understand that somehow God was a part of that, that there are really no coincidences in life. And what goodness in life has brought tears to your eyes? There's sadness that will do that, but what goodness in your life has come to you? Think of the moments in which you have been healed. Think of the moments in which life has taken you in the right direction. Think of the circumstances in which people have been sent into your life. Was that just a coincidence? Or was God at work also to help you walk the path that you have to follow through this life? Yes, there are times when we must ask ourselves, what have we done? What have we done? And there are times when we have to ask ourselves, what did I really do to deserve the good that's coming to me? What did I really do to deserve God's love? Because that's what the birth of Christ is all about. It's the way, one of the ways, in which God shows us how special we are in our own birth and creation. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify, our special program reflecting on the birth of Christ and what it might mean to us, so we might better appreciate our own life and how special we are to God, and to acknowledge that there are significant things. They may not be important in the eyes of the world, but there are significant things that each of us has to say and do during the course of our life, even though they may appear to be very simple. Mary looked at her son with great love, even though she was tired and worn and the journey they would soon have to make would be long. She feared not only for her own safety, but also for that of her husband and especially her newborn child. She quietly prayed in the night, O Father, I have given birth to a son. An angel appeared to me and told me I would. I neither believed nor doubted him. Joseph, my husband, is a good man. I know he has been given to me to help me raise this child, your child, my child according to your will. But I ask you to keep us safe on our journey, and I ask you for the knowledge I need to raise this child. For I am unschooled, a peasant, young. Help me to guide this innocent soul. Then sleep overcame Mary as she cuddled next to her son, not yet 2 weeks old. In a dream, she saw many angels singing praises to God. They reminded her of leaves blowing in a gentle breeze, and their song sounded like a gentle breeze blowing through the trees. And then out of the mist came an angel who said to her, Fear not, for I have been with you from the beginning of your life on earth. And there has been an angel with each of us who has been with us since the beginning of our life on earth. I was there when the angel appeared to you, and I was there when you gave birth to your son. I will also be with you until the end of your life. Fear not, woman, for you are special. People will remember the birth of your son until the end of time. It will be told by word of mouth and by written word. My child, sleep. Sleep. When you awake, you will have tears in your eyes. But be happy now, and do not let them fall upon your child, for the time will come for you to weep, and then your tears will fall upon his body. Be strengthened in the knowledge that you will be loved by many. Yes, you will be denied by a few, but loved by so many more. Your radiance will be seen all over the world like the sun which rises in the morning. You will give peace and comfort like the stars in the night, which shall form a crown shiny and bright upon your head. You will light the path for those who have fallen into darkness and away from his words. Your son shall be filled with great wisdom. He will be inspired and given great blessings. Yes, woman, do not let your tears fall on him until the prescribed time, when they wash his body clean and place him in the tomb. You and your friends will weep, but weep for the sins of man, not for his soul. Oh, my child, you truly are blessed. Again I tell you, the star shall appear like a crown upon your head, and beams of light will shine forth from your hands unto the earth. Your heart will weep for the sins of man. They will call you blessed, and they will call you mother. They will call you Mary, the queen of both heaven and earth. Mary held the memory of Jesus in her arms as she did when he was born. As a mother, she needed to do this because her son now had died, and she could hold him in her heart alone and in no other way. She tried to drown from her ears the cries of the crowd that had screamed for his crucifixion with the remembered cries of a hungry child wanting to be fed. She wasn't very successful. The cry she had released as she gave birth to her son seemed lost somewhere among the shouts she heard as she stood beneath his cross. Not ready to give him back yet. Certainly not in this way. In birth, he had been covered with her blood. In death, with his own. In both birth and death, her tears had washed blood from his body. Who could ever imagine, she thought, that love would lead him to a cross, that love would be nailed to a cross. Today was his birthday, and she wondered if she would live to see his next, if anyone would remember him by then. Love had caused her son's death, and love would soon cause hers, she believed, for she could feel her heart breaking. So much did she want to be with him once again. And so we must continue to celebrate Christmas, for we still have not learned its lessons of love. Christmas is not a fantasy. It's the one time of the year when we don't have to pretend that we're someone or something we're not. And the light from the Christmas star reveals that there's a sense in which we're all handicapped in one way or another and in need of love, in need of God. And so Christmas is a time to draw on the strength of those who have known and loved us for finding the good that often seems hidden by the evil that happens all around us and that we're hearing on the news even this very night. One of the most reassuring truths in life is that perfection isn't a necessary requirement for loving, for being able to do the good that God wants us to do. Love exists only in the lives of ordinary, imperfect people like me and you, like each of us. But here's the truth to remember. Each of us is a gift that God is giving to someone, and then we give that gift back. The difficulty, of course, is that we have heard the story of Christmas so often that it may have lost its true meaning and appeal. It comes in this really from its sense of mystery and its sense of the sacred, because we don't see mystery much more in life if it hasn't been revealed to us by science. And we don't see the sense of the sacred in creation all around us. A virgin named Mary gives birth to a child. God becomes man. And we wonder, what's all the fuss? We've celebrated this event before and know the story. What's so special about it? And yet, I'm sure, I'm very sure, that there are many mysterious and sacred stories of birth that could be told by mothers and fathers that we know from our own friends. And so, unfortunately, we don't always give enough time to the mysteries that we celebrate. Jesus has come to us not with great commotion, but in a sense, in silence. Not with a display of divine power, but with the gentleness of a newborn child. Think about it, as do most people who come to us to give to us the gift of their love. It can be so simple and yet so wonderful when someone comes to share their love with us. And so the great truth in life, I guess I should really say truths, because it really is that. The great truths in life need to be repeated over and over again. There's always something more to learn about them and from them. We're beginning, I think, to understand even a great deal more from science, that there are religious truths, spiritual truths that can come from them. Always something new to learn. There are some things in life that you cannot hear often enough. Someone's love for you. What is the truth of Christmas? Christmas proclaims that Jesus is still with us, still loves us, no matter what we've done, no matter how we think we've failed, haven't done, haven't really tried, don't really understand. Doesn't matter. Jesus is still with us and still loves us. Think about what you hold in your heart and mind that motivates you. What is it that motivates you to live your life as you do? Hasn't love made a difference in your life more than once? And think of a person through whom that love has come more than once. And so Jesus came to tell us the truth about God and about ourselves, about our own birth, that we came from God. We were created by God uniquely, unlike anyone else, to show us how much we are loved by God, in the hope that we'll open our hearts and minds to that love. But where should you look for him? The Christmas story is filled with ordinary people like us. As I've said before, don't be surprised if you find him in weakness, in silence, in gentleness. It's where I find it often, at the creche, at night, in the darkness, but the light that comes forth from the creche and the scenes that are there, the people we've talked about in the stories tonight, tell us something about our own life and how special we are because of God's love for us. Society would like us to believe there is something wrong with you if you cannot overcome every problem in your life by yourself. But the Scripture's approach is different. It proclaims, stay calm. God is with you. There are signs of hope around us in life's most difficult moments if we are willing to look for them. There's so much in life that we can find if we are willing to look for them. And so the wonderful and irresistible power of love is the ultimate gift in life. I hope that you have received love in some way from someone during this Christmas or its season now or in the future, because someone else learned about God and wants to share their goodness with you, wants to share your love, their love for you. And those who possess love are rich. Those who don't are poor. Love can't be bought or taken forcibly. It is truly a freely given, precious gift, because all true love comes ultimately from God and is an intimate participation in God's divine life. Open your heart and your mind to receive that sacred gift. Let's look back in a story of faith and imagination as Jesus looked back at his birth. As we look back at our birth, we might wonder, how did Jesus look back at his birth? And what did his parents tell him? The disciples sat around a fire, each of them telling stories about their youth. Judas said, "Master, you have not told us a story about when you were young, when you were born." Jesus smiled and responded, "I remember some of the words of my mother to me. They have been gifts to me. When I was but a child, I sat by her feet while she spun wool. She had tears in her eyes, but a smile on her face. I asked her mother, 'Mother, why do you have such a strange look on your face?' She told me about an angel that came to her when she was very young. I asked her, 'What's an angel?' She responded with a very beautiful smile, a smile I will forever keep in my mind and in my heart. She told me that this angel spoke to her, and that she did not understand his words, but there was something in her heart, a great desire to please him by simply saying yes." Mother said nothing else as the years passed. And then one day, as she was drawing water at the well, and I came to help her, she had the same strange look on her face. She was smiling with tears in her eyes. Once again, I asked why. She replied, "My son, while I was drawing water, I heard the most beautiful voice. It said, 'My child, be not fearful, for soon he will leave, but you will never be forgotten.'" She said nothing more. I've often thought about these words. They give me comfort because I know I am doing the Father's will. It was Peter who asked, "But Master, how did you know that you must do the Father's will?" Again, Jesus smiled and replied, "Before I gathered all of you, my mother and I sat for a long time in silence, and then with tears in her eyes and sadness on her face, she handed me the bread she had baked, a bit of oil, and some salt. She said, 'My son, I give this to you. My home, our home, is always open. But I know now that you must go to do the Father's will.' She hugged me and said, 'Now, my son, go in peace. May all my prayers for you be answered.' I did not turn. I could not. But I knew in my heart that she loved me, would always love me, as she did from my birth, and would be there for me when my time came." And another similar story, with a great deal of excitement and wonder in his voice, Jesus said to his mother, "Please, mother, please, come outside and watch with me." "Watch what, my son?" Mary asked. "Because the darkness of the night has already begun to cover us." "Please, please, please, Jesus pleaded. Mary could not say no to her son and went outside with him. You'll be cold out here, she said, as she wrapped her arms around him. She snuggled close to her, and love flowed back and forth between them, warming their hearts. Jesus broke the silence between them and said, Mother, I have a question to ask you. Only one? She responded, smiling. You usually have many to ask. Tell me what you want to know, my son, and I will try to answer it if I can. Jesus hesitated only briefly while he formed the question in his mind and then asked, Why, Mother? Why, Mother, are there lights in the sky? Mary looked at the stars with Jesus for a long time before she answered, Perhaps the Father wants us to know that He is always there. But Mother, Jesus said, the stars sometimes hide behind the clouds. That's true, Mary responded as she thought about his dilemma and searched for an answer that might satisfy her son's curiosity better. Finally, she said, I asked my mother the same question when I was young. She told me the stars are windows to the heavens through which our Heavenly Father sheds His tears when He is sad. She then turned the question on him and asked him, What do you think about the stars, son? Jesus answered, I'm not sure, Mother. But I know I enjoy looking at them. Sometimes I imagine them to be twinkling embers. They comfort me like raindrops on a hot day. At other times, they are like a blanket to protect us and keep us warm. Just then, Joseph joined them, and like Mary, he placed his arms around his son. Jesus asked him, Father, what can we learn from the stars? What do they tell us? Joseph answered, I can only tell you this, my son. Just before you were born, I saw a very beautiful star in the sky. It was a sign to me. It told me that your mother's time was near. Jesus had a puzzled look of a young boy trying to understand something and said, Father, I don't understand what you're saying. Joseph and Mary looked at one another with a knowing look, and Joseph said, I remember well how my heart overflowed with joy when you were born. I felt like I was the richest man on earth. No one could have given me a better gift. I could tell from your cry, from the sound of new life, that you were a boy. Yes, Mary added, like the star we saw together in the heavens and claimed as our own, you have entered our life and kept it warm and beautiful. The three of them hugged each other, held hands, and Jesus said, I am glad the three of us are together. I am filled with so much love, and so are we. Mary and Joseph said in unison. All three of them looked up at the sky. No one said anything, but each were searching for that special star. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone, and come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.